something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, Sound Code and the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when you say seeing is believing, no, the Bible says believing is seeing. He says, if you believe, you will see. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Can our men say, seeing is believing? Show it to me and I will believe. How can you believe after I've shown it to you? No, it sounds crazy. Come on here. You're sitting here now. You believe you're sitting here? You know you're sitting here. You believe something that you haven't seen. After you have seen it, you cannot believe it again. You now know. It has become part of your knowledge. That's why after you have received Christ into your life, I tell people, we are not believers. Don't be deceived by the general terminology where we are described and we describe ourselves as believers in Christ. We are not believers. In reality, you got to understand it. Because he says, if you believe, you shall receive. You see that? He that believeth hath everlasting life. So when I believe, believing is a process. Do you get it? It's a means to an end. I cannot continue in the journey trying to get something. When I believed, that was the process of getting to receive what he promised. That if I would believe, I would receive, I would become. So I believed and so I became. So I'm no longer a believer, I have become. You get it? And then, you know, especially during the High Life conferences, we try to help a lot of believers understand that don't be deceived by the terminology. Okay? That because we call ourselves believers, it's because for so long we have used that term for ourselves. So we use it to identify ourselves. Are you a believer? I say, oh yeah, I'm a believer. Great, great, great. But we need to know beyond our nomenclature. We should know ourselves beyond that. I'm more than a believer. When I believe, I got something. So they say, if you believe, you will enter the house. So I believed, I entered the house. Who am I now? One of the household. See, I belong in the house. I'm numbered among those that live in the house. Believing qualified me. So I say to them, did you receive anything when you believed? Then they start thinking, because nobody ever asked them that question. When you believed in Jesus, did you receive anything? They think, They're trying to think, what did they receive? Did you receive eternal life when you believed? Oh, yes, 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 yes. So who are you now? You get it? So I'm more than a believer. I believed and I received. I have qualified by believing. It was a process and I've come in to the house. So in the Bible, you would notice that he tells us that the believers were called Christians. And they first called them Christians in Antioch. Glory to God. All right, verse 8. We're in verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All right, look at verse 9 now. But ye are not. Oh, he never leaves us in doubt as to who we are. You know, you could have started asking yourself, am I in the flesh? Am I in this? Am I this? He says, but ye are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. I may have acted as though I was in the flesh. But I'm not in the flesh. So now he wants you to do like you are supposed to be. Look at it. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Say, I'm in the spirit. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be. You know, one day, years ago, I was just a young Christian, you know, beginning my faith life. And a certain brother came to visit me. He had been an older Christian. And he said to me, he said, you don't hear the voice of God very well. I said, you are right. You know, because if I said that now, you'd be amazed how many of us here will quickly identify with me and say, I don't hear very well. I want to hear the voice of God better. I didn't understand the principles of the kingdom then. So he said, you don't hear the voice of God very well. I said, it's true. I thought he was going to teach me how to hear it better. He said, so when God speaks to you, you need to hear him better. I said, it's true. After the exhortation, I wasn't any better. I only felt worse. Because now, I'm not the only one that now knows I don't hear the voice of God very well. Someone else has even come to tell me. So maybe God has revealed to him that I don't hear very well. I was frustrated. So I was praying about it, that God, I want to hear your voice better. I don't know the voice of God. I am confused about this. Then I was studying. For some reason, I found myself in St. John's Gospel, chapter 10. And I came across where Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I shouted, Lord, I know your voice. Because he says, a stranger's voice will they not follow. I said, I will not follow a stranger's voice. I know your voice. Immediately, I rejected what that brother told me. I said, I know the voice of God. From that day, I've known the voice of God. Hallelujah. See, follow what he says, not what your experiences tell you. Look at that scripture again, verse 9. Go back to that verse 9. He says, but ye are not in the flesh. Until he said this, I would have convinced myself that I'm so carnal and fleshly. God, please help me. Please save me from fleshly life. Why? Because all my experiences are telling me that you talk like this. All those things Pastor just said now, it's you. And with all that conclusion, I would have said, I'm in the flesh. It says, so then, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I feel sorry for myself. Oh, they that are in the flesh. See, that's me, cannot please God. Then maybe I started crying. Well, how will I please God? How will I please God? I'm in the flesh. But immediately in verse 9, he says, but ye are not in the flesh. But in the spirit. Hallelujah! He didn't say if you feel like it. No, he says, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. If you got the spirit of God in you, you are in the spirit. Hallelujah! Not if you feel like it. Not if you haven't done anything wrong. This is the mind of God. See why I love the Word of God? Nobody can do me like Jesus. No one can tell me who I am like the Holy Ghost in His Word. Hallelujah. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Then He says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, He says, this doesn't belong to you. You're not in Christ. So where do you start? From Christ. So start with Him. Give your heart to the Lord. That's where it starts. Hallelujah. Okay, now, haven't read this. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Say, I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. You see, until I can help you see that you're in the Spirit, I cannot help you function in the Spirit. See, God's principle in the New Testament is called the mirror principle. He shows you who you are and where you are. And once you can accept it, you will see yourself there. That's the mirror principle.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org for an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Dudu from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life and who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love Old Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love Old Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did, because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment. This is the continuation of the message, Sound Code and the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Should I show you the mirror principle? First, go to the book of James, chapter 1. Let's read from verse 20. For the rod of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's very serious. When you get angry and offended, you're not likely to produce the righteousness of God. You may satisfy yourself, but will God be pleased? Okay, next verse. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word. Glory to God. Next verse. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. That means word practitioners. Those who put the word to work. Wish I had time to explain in detail. Because you see, there's a difference between obeying the word and doing the word. In Christianity, we don't obey the word, we do the word. The word is us. So what God says, we put to work. So that's why he tells you who you are, what belongs to you, where you are. So you act it, do it, become what he says you are. Look at that. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, look at the next verse. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He's like a man who's looking at himself in a mirror. Next verse. For he beholdeth himself, he sees himself, and goes his way, and right away forgets what manner of man he was. He says, the one who's not a doer of the word is like the man who looks at himself in the mirror, and the moment he turns away from the mirror, he forgets what he looked like. Because he's not doing the word. What is he telling you? To be a doer of the word, you must remember what you look like and act according to what you look like in the word. Whatever the word called you, that's what he told you just now. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So he's showing you the mirror. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So he's, I am not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So I hold that image in my mind. I'm a man of the spirit, not of the flesh. I don't forget what I saw in the mirror of God. Are you seeing that now? Okay, next verse. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Oh, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh, dear Lord. Wish we had time to go into this. Well, let's go back to where we left off, and that's in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, right? I just want to connect that to something for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. So be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So say, I am not in the flesh, but in the spirit. I am not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Galatians chapter 5. Let's read verse 25. Read, one, two, go. Again. Okay, so now you have said that you are in the spirit. He's telling you, go ahead and walk in the spirit. So you see, we're living in two worlds. There is a natural world and there is a spiritual world. This is where I'm getting at. There's a natural world and there's a spiritual world. There are many who understand the natural world and its natural principles, but they don't understand the spiritual world and the spiritual principles. But when you are born again, even though you're in a natural world, you are at once, at the same time, in a spiritual world. And in that spiritual world, you are beyond time and space. That is the realm of the glory of God. That is the realm of the Spirit of God. That is the realm of the supernatural. That is the realm of the miraculous. So even though you're in a physical world, in the material world, understand you are living in the spirit world right now. That's what he's telling you. So start doing, you see, there are many things you do in the natural world, like washing your clothes, okay? You're eating, taking your dinner or your breakfast or something, ironing, pressing your clothes. You know, you do all these natural things. There are activities in the spirit world as well. There are activities in the spirit realm. And that's what is getting your attention to. He wants you to understand that there is a life to be lived in the spirit world. Once that becomes clear to you, you'll be amazed at the life you'll be living. Let's look at something in the Bible. In Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter 4. Let's read from verse 1. Something very interesting. You remember the man Moses? At this time, Moses had had been at the backside of the desert, you know, banished himself. I mean, he'd been driven away from Egypt, escaped from Egypt, and so he's here now. And God is talking to Moses. And God is saying to Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. Now be with you. But here's the interesting thing. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. He says, if I go and tell the Israelites that you sent me, they will not believe me. You see, God has appeared in the burning bush to Moses. And Moses says, how can I tell them you appeared to me? They're not going to believe me. So, he says, Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. You know, he had become a shepherd, so he was using a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. God told Moses to cast the rod on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And read the rest. Moses fled from before the serpent. Now, Moses had become a great army general in Egypt. He was a great man and vast in knowledge. So he understood what was happening there. When he saw the serpent, he fled. His own rod, it was his rod. The rod changed form into a serpent. It was converted from a wooden rod into a living thing. Why? I told you, there's life in everything. He put the rod on the ground. It turned into a serpent, and Moses fled. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Because it could do him harm. So he said, take it by the tail. God had to tell him how to do it. He says, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. It turned again into a rod. Hallelujah. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Okay, now. Next verse. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had appeared unto thee. Next verse. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Well, he brought it out, and then it became normal again. Anyways, I just wanted to show you that part of the serpent, but it's not over yet. Let's go to another portion. You ready for this? Chapter 7. Now, Moses is very ready because now he has a powerful rod in his hand. So he's going to see Pharaoh, and he's going to demonstrate something to Pharaoh. Chapter 7, from verse 7. And Moses was 80 years old. That's 80 years old. And Aaron, 83 years. Aaron was his older brother, older than Moses with 3 years, when they spake unto Pharaoh. Verse 8, so they're before Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ,
Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you. This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Suriname, Hoekhoofdstraat and Prinsestraat, numero 73/74. Worship with us on Sundays, 10 a.m., Wednesdays, 7 p.m., for prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us. Please call +5978-570-590 or +5978-570-655 or send a mail to Radio Transmissions @level360.com.